Good morning. Greetings in the name of Christ. It's really good to be with you this morning again. Welcome to everybody here, visitors and home folks alike. I don't know how old I was when I realized the strange juxtaposition of hallelujah and going down the valley. But you know, I like it. It's good. We're going down the valley, and we're not sticking around here all that much longer, are we? And hallelujah. That's all right. To realize that the things we face here, they're not going to last forever, and that's a good thing. We've got somewhere else better to go. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we come before you this morning. We come in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father, that as we go through this service, that you would open our hearts to truth, open our minds to your will for our lives. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would work here today in my heart and in the hearts of all those present. And Lord, I just pray that you would just help us to be willing to be taught by you and be willing to focus and be present here. Just pray that you would just keep us in your care as we go through this service, and may you be glorified. In the name of Jesus, I pray it. Amen. If you would turn over with me to John, the 18th chapter, titled the devotional this morning, The Truth Will Set You Free. And we've got a strange story here, a tragic story in a way, and yet a ultimately triumphant story of Jesus standing here before Pilate. And I'd just like to talk about look at the conversation that they had. So starting in verse 28, reading down through verse 40. So Jesus has just been through a night of torment by the Jews, and they're bringing him to Pilate. Verse 28 of chapter 18. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. How's that for due process for you? Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And you can hear the sarcasm in his voice. Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. So you see this conversation that Jesus had with Pilate, and it sort of culminated in Pilate making the sarcastic comment, What is truth? Can truth even be known? Is it even worth knowing? What is truth? And there before him stands the embodiment of truth, the person upon whom the history, the fate of humanity rests, face to face with truth, and doesn't even recognize it. I'd like to turn to one of Jesus' statements now, where he says this statement about being free. This is in John 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed. We are never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Once again, Jesus is speaking words of truth, and he's giving really the secret or the essence of life, the truth making them free. And yet once again, it's met with rejection. But the truth does make us free. This can be hard to believe. But when we look at, it can be hard to believe when we look at all that lies between us, where we currently are, where we stand, and truly walking in the light, personally. What would it take to get there? How can that make me free? But that's the truth, as long as we're willing to take hold of it and not make excuses. Discipleship as a way of life places us on the path of truth. Discipleship to Christ in the small things, as we follow the direction of the Holy Spirit, transforms our approach to life, to truth, to our own self. Discipleship changes our ability to see, to accept, to experience truth. It's the walk that makes us free. It's the process. It's the direction. Because for us, what is truth? With Pilate, we ask that all the time, don't we? What is truth? We're facing a situation. We're facing the situations of our own lives. And what is truth for me? How can I make sense? That's what we're actually saying. How can I make sense of my life and the things that just overwhelm me? What is truth? And you know, truth can be something out there, and yet it has to come into our hearts for it to do any good to us. And the way that it does come into our hearts is in the small ways. It's in the ways that we're honest or dishonest with ourselves. It's when we're facing a situation, when we're all by ourselves and nobody knows, and it doesn't really matter. You can rationalize your way out of doing the right thing pretty easily, and choosing to do the right thing, even that little thing. Discipleship in the small things opens our minds to the truth in the large things. Discipleship in the small things, in the small truths that we know to be true at a visceral level, will be a protection for us from deceit, and will continue to open our eyes and our minds to new truth as we walk forward. The truth will set us free. Just as Jesus says, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. Whosoever walks in the truth, can you say it's a servant of freedom? Will walk in freedom. If the Son will make you free, you shall be free indeed. By contrast, simply doing the right thing out of a hypocritical experience so that people think we are somebody who we are not actually will not result in the expected outcome. You won't feel the power of the Spirit in your life. You won't experience the joy of walking with Christ. You won't experience what you thought you were going to experience. Doing the right thing out of a hypocritical experience will not take you where you want to go. And in a way, trying to walk in, if that's our substitute for truth, if that's what we call truth, that's a form of bondage. That's not walking in truth. Matthew 13, verse 10. The disciples came unto him and said, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he had just finished the parable of the sower here. He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Once again, this progressive thing. If we follow in the small things, we'll be given larger things. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Wow, wouldn't that be lovely to hear Christ say that to you, that you truly see and you truly hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. So what is he saying? Both deception, turning away from truth, and turning toward truth, walking ever closer to Christ, walking ever more truly in the light. Those are both progressive things. Those are paths that we walk. Our experience with truth is a progressive experience. If we walk in the light in the small things, if we choose to be honest with ourselves when we know we have failed in ways that nobody else knows about, but we choose to be honest, we choose to confess, we choose to humble ourselves, we choose to come again to the cross, that opens us up to new truth. It opens us up to new experience. But if in those same moments we instead choose darkness, we instead choose deceit, we instead choose dishonesty, we're walking down a path that'll take us away from the truth. Truth will only reach us if we are awake, paying attention. Truth, in our experience, is a target. It's a path. It's a direction. It must be sought. It must be pursued. We should always be open to the Word of God in our lives. And truth, in our experience, is more likely to make us uncomfortable than comfortable. Because the search for truth is a search for God. When we stop learning, it's not because we have reached the acme of the human condition. We're at the peak, we're at the pinnacle. We don't need to learn anymore because we have learned it all. It's simply if we reach that point of stopping learning, of stopping seeking for the truth in our lives, that we've given up on the continued transformational work of God in our lives. The rejection of truth leads to increasing blindness and the inability to recognize deception. Luke 6, verse 41. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. This is such an intrinsic part of our human nature, isn't it? To see each other a lot more clearly than we see ourselves, or so we think. I had a conversation once with somebody. We were talking about the subject, and I said something about, I said, that's true of me. Is it true of you? No, he said, I don't think that's true of me. What do you say? The irony. Clarity in seeing the faults of those around us is less likely to be a result of our keen spiritual eyesight than it is to be an indication of our own inability to see ourselves. When it's everybody else's fault, it's everybody else's problem, you're the problem. If you would just fix your life, then I could get on with mine. That's not a sign of spiritual sight. It's a sign of spiritual blindness. Making others appear stupid or spiritually behind us is a sign of narrow-mindedness, not spiritual greatness. The first step toward finding the truth that Jesus offers us, the truth that will set us free, is humility. Humility that opens the door to a lot of things in our lives. Are you humble enough to believe that you need teaching? And by extension, if we need teaching, we need teachers. And who are the teachers? Am I willing to learn from you? Am I willing to learn from a child? Am I willing to learn from my spouse? Am I willing to learn from imperfect people that I could enumerate 10 faults in their personality? Am I willing to learn from those around me? Or do I have all the answers? Do you have the courage to even want to know the truth about yourself? I enjoyed the devotional this morning about courage. This is one of the most courageous acts that we can take, is a step in truly looking at ourselves. Because it's so much easier to see the motes in our brother's eye than the beams in our own eyes. Are you willing to know the truth about yourself? And what is the truth about ourselves? The truth about us is that we are, at our core, as human, as prone to fall, as any of the villains that you can pull out of your history books. We share their nature. We partake in their same basic makeup. And it's only by the salvation of Christ, it's only by his work in our lives, it's only as we walk in the light of his Spirit that we can be drawn into the sonship and being made a child of God himself. That's who we are. We're worse than a neutral. We're a negative. We're worse than nothing. We are a detriment. That's who we are in ourselves. Are we willing to see that in ourselves? It's a lot easier just to find fault with those around us than it is to face who we really are ourselves. John 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him." Follow Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And as Christians, we're disciples. Disciples are followers. We're transformed in the journey as we follow Christ, as he speaks into our lives, as we face the difficulties and the little mundane tasks and experiences of life. Are we willing to face them as Christ gives us power? Or are we going to face them dishonestly, blaming others for our problems, blaming the human condition and God himself maybe for our problems, instead of facing them courageously and truthfully? "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." You're not alone. As Christians, as followers of Christ, as people who have experienced a new birth, we are given the Spirit of truth himself. And what a precious gift that is. His presence is made known. How? It's made known by the effect that he has on our lives. We are first discipled before we can disciple. We are first purged before we are fit to be an instrument of God. Do we love the truth? It's more than a peripheral question. It's at the core of our spiritual survival. Second Corinthians 3, verse 17. "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Truth is the enemy of stagnation. It doesn't allow us to be comfortable at any stage of our experience. "Buy the truth," says Proverbs 23:23, "and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding." What does it take to buy the truth? It costs everything we have, even our own personhood, in the pursuit of God. It takes faith that God will catch us when we take the next step, when we stop blaming others, when we stop looking around us for the solutions, and we look to God. And we say, "God, here I am. What do you want me to do?" And he will answer that question. "What do you want me to do?" He'll lay something on your heart. And then what are we going to do? Say, "Okay, I asked for it. I'm going to do it. Give me the strength. Give me the courage. Give me the grace to take that step." He will catch you, but you have to have faith that he will. It's sacrificing who we are for who God wants us to be. Is that worth it? Are you willing to be changed by the truth? Are you willing? Will you allow the truth to set you free? Shall we kneel for prayer?